The Biden administration is proposing a rule that would change asylum policy as it currently stands. Right now, under something called Title 42, a health law invoked because of the pandemic, immigration laws are being effectively overridden to turn away many asylum seekers under the theory that they could possibly increase a public health risk. With the COVID public health emergency ending on May 11th of this year, Title 42 border enforcement would end along with it. That raises questions about the number of people who could seek asylum. The Biden administration announced a proposed rule last month, which some critics say shows similarities to Trump-era immigration policy and angered some of the president's fellow Democrats. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about current asylum policy at the U.S. border? Do you think it's fair or not? Do you think changes are needed? Do you want to see those come from the Biden administration, or do you want to see Congress tackle these issues? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Dara Lind is a senior fellow at the American Immigration Council. Dara, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much, Rob. Good to be on.
I want to take this one step at a time. Take away Title 42, ignore for the moment this proposal from the Biden administration, and what would normal, quote unquote, asylum policy look like at the southern border?
Great place to start. And thank you so much for explaining Title 42 so well so that I don't have to. But under, you know, written immigration law, if you are apprehended by a Border Patrol agent, or if you turn yourself in either to Border Patrol or at a port of entry, like an official border crossing, and you say that you fear persecution in your home country, then you have kind of officially like started the asylum process. You have invoked your right to seek asylum in the United States. And that means that if you have crossed illegally, or if you don't have a visa, so wouldn't otherwise be able to get into the U.S., you have to pass a screening interview, which is called a credible fear interview, with an asylum officer, which can take a few weeks, or you can just get released with a court date to eventually see an immigration judge, which is something that they do pretty frequently when there are too many people crossing for them to all get screened. So you initially don't have legal status per se in the United States. You don't have anything permanent. What you have is a pending court date and, you know, the ability to, after a certain amount of time, work in the United States while that court date is pending. And then ultimately you will be put in front of a judge to actually make your case that you've been persecuted based on your race, religion, national origin, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group.
Now, Title 42, long story short, this is a health law that's been used to say, no, we don't need to do any of the things you just said. I'm summarizing a lot there, Dara. That expires now. Now, we've got this Biden administration proposed rule that would, in effect, do what? What is the administration proposing here?
So the rule kind of creates this new process with a much higher and more convoluted series of bars. So for one thing, in theory, you would be unaffected by this. You would still be able to kind of seek asylum through the traditional route if you presented at a port of entry and had an appointment. Now, they've rolled out this app called CBP1 that's being used for some appointments right now to get exceptions under Title 42. I'm happy to answer some questions about the app, but like suffice to say, it is essentially being beta tested on asylum seekers, right? It's still very glitchy. There are still a lot of problems. It's wildly under available in terms of appointment slots for demand. So a lot of people even now can't get appointments, and it's only going to get worse once this is the only way to legally get asylum. So if you can't get an appointment via the app and you decide to cross into the US illegally, and you are a single adult or a family, you will have to demonstrate that you basically like that your life was imminently in danger in order to kind of qualify for normal asylum procedures. Under most cases, you're essentially going to be held to a higher standard in your screening interview. The technical term here is reasonable fear instead of credible fear. It's something that's usually used for people who don't qualify for asylum for like criminal history reasons or something like that. And it entitles you to a lesser form of protection than asylum, where you still can't be deported back to your home country, but you don't get the ability to have permanent status in the U.S. You can't have family members come join you, etc. So the way to get out of any of this would be that if you had demonstrated that you had applied for asylum in another country before arriving in the United States and you got rejected. And that's really what the Biden administration is banking on here. They're saying it's not a ban on asylum, period. It's an encouragement of using other countries' asylum systems, or barring that, using the legal ports of entry in the US. They're not, you know, outright posing a ban on asylum for people who cross between ports of entry, because U.S. law straight up does not allow them to do that. It says explicitly that you have the right to asylum no matter where you cross. So instead, they've just created these series of bars that apply only if you cross between ports of entry, while there's this huge crunch, you know, and not everyone who tries to apply at a port of entry is getting served.
I think one of the arguments to do something like this, Dara, is, okay, Title 42 is going to end. We've already seen in the last year or so a lot of people seeking asylum despite the existence of Title 42. The concern that there's pent-up demand, in effect, we're going to see more people than the asylum system can realistically handle. So we got to do, I guess, something to respond to this change. I mean, that premise, do you think that's valid?
I mean, I think that that is, I think that it's absolutely reasonable to be concerned about the U.S. immigration system's capacity to handle what comes next after Title 42, given that, as you said, like, even when people had no chance of getting asylum, if they crossed between ports of entry because of Title 42, they were still trying in, you know, numbers we haven't seen since before 9/11. But the question about capacity is really, like, is the problem that too many people are crossing and getting caught, or is the problem that too few people are getting deported, or is the problem that too many people end up kind of stuck in limbo and, you know, passing the first screening but not passing their ultimate asylum claims? Or is the problem that a lot of people are getting released from custody and dumped on the streets and don't have anywhere to go because they don't have family members in the U.S.? Like, all of those are plausible concerns you can have with the capacity of the system, but they're very different concerns. And so the Biden administration is banking on the idea that if they make it harder for somebody to get released from custody quickly because, you know, they're presumed ineligible, and they, you know, make it harder for somebody to pass their initial screening interview, that word is going to get back to people's home countries, and people who would otherwise start crossing are going to get the message, don't come. Now, there are real questions about how well that works, because we've seen in the past that, you know, even under Title 42, where there's literally no way to get asylum, we're still seeing a lot of people coming. But it's also an assumption that, like, if it isn't proven correct, they don't actually help anything at all. They're just putting more people into a now more convoluted system, which is going to further tax those resources.
We're talking to Dara Lind, senior fellow at the American Immigration Council, looking at a proposed rule from the Biden administration that would change how people can seek asylum in the United States as a health policy called Title 42 will stop being in effect at the border in May. At least that's the current plan. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this proposal from the Biden administration? What would you like to see happen with asylum? What questions do you have for our guest? It's convoluted. There's a lot going on here. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. The conversation continues. Coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Dara Lind with the American Immigration Council, looking at the Biden administration's proposed changes to immigration and asylum policy as Title 42, a health law that's been used to prevent people having asylum hearings at the border. That's going to stop being used with the end of the public health emergency in May. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Jim is with us in Dubuque. Jim, hi.
Hi. I think we should do what they do in other countries. My sister moved to Colombia some years back in order to achieve a higher standard of living. And they, like most countries, including probably Mexico and most of them, you have to prove that you can support yourself so you won't be a burden on an already economically stressed population.
Jim, I gotcha. Thanks for that call. Now, Dara, as I understand it, some kinds of immigration, non-asylum immigration, that could be a requirement. Asylum, I think, works differently. Can you tackle Jim's idea there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually want to start with Colombia because it's really interesting to bring that up as a data point. Colombia has had millions of asylum seekers from Venezuela for the last, or you know, refugees from for the last several years. They're taking way more as a percentage of their population than the US is, because it's a neighboring country that kind of couldn't, you know, there's a certain extent to which they couldn't do otherwise. But it's a good reminder that the US is in a really fortunate position that it even can, you know, control things like this, and that it is not, you know, that be like other countries doesn't actually mean be more restrictive in a lot of ways. But yeah, asylum and refugee status are purely humanitarian forms of relief. They're created in the aftermath of the Holocaust on the understanding that sometimes people really were at, you know, in mortal peril from their own governments because of who they were. And so it's been, you know, it's been kind of the one aspect of the U.S. immigration system as it gets increasingly arcane. And, you know, as legal immigration has gotten very slow in past years, that really adheres to the kind of Lady Liberty ethos, right? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. You know, so that's kind of bedrock in U.S. law. You can't make something, you can't depend on economic support. What's interesting is that what the Biden administration has done at the same time that it's proposed this new rule is it's rolled out an expanded parole program for people from a few countries who had been putting a lot of asylum claims, including Venezuela, Cuba, Haiti, and Nicaragua. And that parole program allows people to come, like, buy an airplane ticket, fly into the US and work legally for 2 years and go and presumably go home. That's not based on an asylum claim at all. You don't have to prove anything about, you know, being persecuted, but you do have to have a family member or another sponsor in the US who can demonstrate that they can support you for the 2 years that you're here, even though you theoretically have the ability to work legally. So it's very interesting that what the Biden administration is saying is like an alternative lawful pathway for asylum seekers is something that requires that kind of financial independence.
Jim, thanks for that call. Brian joins us next in Madison. Brian, hello.
Hi. So I had a question about like the larger political context. When it comes to anything immigration related, obviously, it becomes a hotly debated subject. But at the same time, we're having across the country like a huge shortage of workers for low paying and low skilled jobs. It seems like expanding immigration would be a good answer to that economically. And asylum seekers in particular seems like the obvious place to start. So I just don't understand, I guess, why this ends up being so convoluted and why making it trickier seems to be something that Democrats and Republicans both agree on, even though their rhetoric around it is a little different.
Brian, thanks for the call. Daryl, what do you think?
So there's a kind of structural problem with American immigration policy that Congress is supposed to be responsible for setting legal immigration levels, and then the executive branch is supposed to be responsible for like enforcing those laws, which includes, you know, doing a lot of figuring out how people who come to the US without papers should be treated, since those people have, you know, broken the rule and are subject to federal immigration proceedings. But so what you end up having is, because Congress has not taken any action on immigration of note in this century, a situation where a lot of policy gets made through the executive branch. And because it includes a lot of people crossing the border without authorization, it gets turned into this question of border security, of crime, the assumption that people must be sneaking in for nefarious purposes, a lot of that. And so the idea of people as, you know, potential workers rather than potential threats is just pretty far from the way that, you know, the entire border bureaucracy is set up for enforcement. It's there's a separate benefits agency that in theory doesn't do any of this. So there's definitely a case to be made that there is, you know, an obvious demand and an obvious supply, and those two things should go together. But, you know, for exactly the reasons that I just laid out, like talking about asylum as potentially a way to recruit workers into the U.S. is just like, it's so far afield from the actual purpose of the program that it is a little bit weird to, you know, to even acknowledge that there is something there. The other thing I'd point out is that even though asylum seekers are theoretically legal or eligible for work permits after they file their applications, Those work permit applications go through that benefits agency I mentioned, USCIS, which is totally swamped, has been totally swamped since before COVID, and it's only gotten worse from there. And so they're waiting just months and months and months for those work permits for which they are legally eligible.
Brian, thanks for that call. And just our last minute, Dara, I keep hearing about different parts of the immigration system, the one you just mentioned, the benefit system, the immigration courts, the list goes on, being overwhelmed and understaffed. Is anybody in Congress and the White House talking about trying to boost the numbers there?
Well, USCIS is an unusual case because Congress has made the decision that immigrant user fees should pay for that agency. And so while there's been a little bit of support over the last couple of years because the situation has just gotten so bad, in general, that is supposed to be a fee-funded agency. And so when it does fall behind, it only gets worse because you're using, you can't spend any more than the amount of applications you have coming in. So that is just a problem that absent a total about face from Congress that's going to cost a lot more money in the U.S. budget can't really be fixed to a satisfactory degree.
And other agencies, including the immigration courts?
I mean, there have been proposals. There actually has been really aggressive hiring of immigration judges, both under the previous administration and this one. But it's really, there are just so many cases coming in that the backlog is getting all the worse. And you ultimately have to choose between, you know, really strict rules that make it difficult to postpone cases if you don't have a lawyer or if you haven't finished your application yet, that can kind of abrogate people's due process. And this inefficiency where, you know, if you have any potential delay in a case, you will take it because you're worried that if it comes to the end, you will ultimately get deported.
Dara, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dara Lynn, senior fellow at the American Immigration Council. She joined us to talk about the Biden administration's proposed immigration policy that would change the process to seek asylum in the U.S. after the end of the COVID public health emergency coming up in May.